I have a theory that if a man lived to be 1,000 years of age, and he studied the Bible 8 hours a day, and he preached 2 sermons a week, and on top of that, he wrote 2 books a year about the Bible. I mean, if a man devoted that much time to the Bible, when he came to the end of those 1,000 years on earth, he would still not have exhausted everything in the Word of God. He would not have preached everything that he could have preached. He would not have written everything that he could have written. He would still not have thought about everything he could have thought about. He would not have tapped into all the depths and all the riches of the Word of God that are there, even after 1,000 years on this earth. I say that because almost every time I finish a sermon, either on my way home or after I get home, I say to myself, I should have said this and I should have added that. And I know you're thinking, no, John, you said enough. You said you don't need to add anything to that. But I'm always thinking there's something I could have made that point clearer. I could have brought this word or this verse out better. I could have illustrated that point more strongly. I could have done that better. I could have said more. Well, no matter how long we live, no matter how many sermons we preach or how often we read the Bible, there will always be more to the Word of God than we can grasp and that we can exhaust. Now, if you'll open your Bibles tonight to the book of Romans in chapter number 11, I want to show you a verse in Romans tonight that will let be our launching pad for where we're going to be going. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 33. It's interesting, we just got our booklet to the printer last week that we've updated the book, Hiding His Word in Our Hearts. We now have 710 Bible verses in there. And I was so proud of that, and I still am proud of it, but a day or two after we got to the printer, I was reading my devotions one day, and I came across this verse, and I thought, man, I wish I would have thought to add that one in there. See, that's what I'm saying. There's always more to the Word of God than we can ever exhaust. But let me show it to you tonight. Romans chapter 11 and in verse number 33. The Bible says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." So the Bible says that God's judgments are unsearchable and His ways are past finding out. It reminds me of the verse in Isaiah 55 where God said, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Paul was saying the same thing here when he said, God's ways are past finding out. Now, what I'm saying tonight is simply this. What is true of God is true of God's Word. There's more to the Bible than we could ever exhaust and we could ever grasp or that we could, you'll never, the Bible is not one of those books that you read it one time and then you say, well, I've read that and I've moved on to another one. You could read the Bible for years and never come to the depths or to the bottom of all that is in there. And having said that, if you'll turn tonight to Mark chapter 16, because I had this experience yesterday morning as I was home. I wasn't even thinking about a sermon. I was just having my quiet time, reading my Bible, having a little prayer time. And yesterday in my Bible reading time, I was reading in Mark chapters 15 and 16. That was my assigned reading for the day. Mark chapter 15, of course, is about the crucifixion. And Mark chapter 16 is about the resurrection. And so before I even read the passages, I knew what it was going to be about. Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus coming back to life again out of the grave. And, you know, even though I know how the story ends, I'm always blessed when I read about the crucifixion and the resurrection. But as I was just reading through that familiar passage of Scripture, I came across a verse that I had never paid any attention to. In fact, in my Bible, if you could see it tonight, I have lots of verses underlined, but this one verse that we're going to be looking at tonight, I don't have it underlined, I don't have it circled, I don't have it checkmarked, I don't have any notations beside it at all. And it's like when I was reading yesterday about the resurrection, I came across another tremendous truth in the Scripture that I never had seen before. Mark 16, the theme is the resurrection. But also, in this passage of Scripture, we learn how to handle obstacles that we face in life. Now, let's look at it and make it very clear to you. In Mark chapter 16, look beginning in verse 1. "Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to him, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter," or even Peter, "that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." And so again, it is a familiar story how on the Sunday morning after Jesus' crucifixion on Friday, this small group of women went to the tomb. Why? To anoint the body of Jesus. Why were they anointing the body of Jesus on Sunday? First of all, they were anointing his body because the Jewish people at this time did not embalm the bodies of the dead. The Egyptians did, but not the Jews. The Jews would get the bodies, they would put spices on the bodies to prevent the body from decaying. And we know that after Jesus had died on Friday, some anointing had taken place and he had been wrapped in a cloth. But since Saturday was the Sabbath and it was a holy day, they could not fully anoint his body on Saturday. So on Sunday morning, these ladies, probably on Saturday night when the Sabbath ended, the Sabbath ends at Saturday at sundown, they went to the store, they bought some spices, and on Sunday morning early, they came to the tomb. The ladies were fully expecting Jesus to still be in that tomb. That's why they brought the spices, so they could anoint his body. And as they were going to the tomb to do that, they began to talk about what they were going to do when they got to the tomb. And they saw this stone that had been rolled over the tomb, because they knew where the tomb was. They had seen the stone that had been rolled over. And they knew they could not roll the stone away. Stones back in Bible times over a tomb the size of Jesus' tomb would have been approximately 4 to 6 feet in diameter. So from top to bottom, this round stone was somewhere between 4 and 6 feet. It was about 1 foot wide. And it would have weighed somewhere between 1 and 2 tons. 2 to 4,000 pounds this stone would have weighed. Now, I've been to Israel 7 times. I've been to the Garden Tomb 7 times. And I've never paid any attention to one thing that I hope next year when y'all go, you can see if this was true of Jesus' tomb. Many of the tombs in this day that had been hewn out of the rocks, since the stone was so large and so heavy and it went between these two grooves so that it would stay secure there, when they rolled the stone over the tomb, there was a slight decline. And so two strong men, even though the stone weighed 2 to 4,000 pounds, two strong men could get that stone moving and get a little momentum. And since there was a slight decline, they could get that stone in place. But when it came time to roll the stone away, they were having to roll that heavy stone up a slight incline. And so the women, whether there was an incline at Jesus' tomb or not, I'm not sure, but they knew they could not move a stone that heavy. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is that was their obstacle. And so when I was reading this story yesterday, fully expecting all my mental energies to be on the crucifixion and the resurrection, I came across that third verse in the 16th chapter where it says, as the women were going to the tomb, they talked among themselves and they said, "How are we going to get this stone? Who's going to roll the stone away from us?" Now think about this. Put yourself in those ladies' shoes. It would have been easy for them to have thought, what is the point in us going to the tomb or in our going to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, because we know that when we get to the tomb, we can't roll the stone away. It would have been easy for them to have said, as we are trying to do what we feel like is the right thing to do, what is the respectable thing to do, a way that we can show our love for Jesus, even though that is in our heart, and even though we want to show our love for Jesus, there's this 1 to 2 ton obstacle in our way. And it would be easy for them to say, "Hey, we're going to have to wait till Peter and John, or we're going to have to wait till some of the guys, we're going to have to wait till there are more people there so that somebody else can roll the stone away for us, and then we can go in that tomb, then we can anoint the body of Jesus. But isn't it interesting that even though they had this obstacle in their way, they did not let that obstacle stop them from moving forward. They didn't let that obstacle stop them from going to the tomb and hoping and praying or surmising and somehow, some way, somebody will roll this stone away. And they had no idea that it was going to be an angel who rolled the stone away. They had no idea that the stone would be rolled away. My point is, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. They did not let the obstacle stop them from doing what they could. And so the title of the message tonight is How to Handle Obstacles. We all have them. We've all had them. Some of you have an obstacle tonight, something that you are facing in your life, and you're trying to figure out, how can I do what I think or what I know God wants me to do in light of the fact that I have this 2-ton obstacle in my way? How can I move forward? How can I do what God wants me to do with this big stone standing between me and where I need to be? Now, as I've thought about obstacles today, it seems to me the simple way to teach this tonight is simply to make this statement. In life, there are two categories of obstacles, two types of stones. There are stones that you can move, and then there are stones that you cannot move. In other words, in your life, as you encounter obstacles, if you'll think about whatever it is you're facing, even right now, some of those obstacles in your life, you have some control over that. In other words, there's something that you can do to move that stone out of the way. So let's just think about that just for a minute. I think this will be helpful. I'm going to give several illustrations tonight, way more illustrations than I normally like to give in a sermon. I think about one or two is enough, but I'm going to give you a lot of them tonight because I want to drive this point home about obstacles in your life that you may have. I'm going to give you some obstacles in my life that I have had. Some of them are silly and not that big of a deal. Some of them are more serious. But some obstacles that I have had in my life that I could control, that I could actually move if I would do my part. I was thinking today about some of those obstacles. For example, I can remember about 2 years ago one night, I think it was a Sunday night, I got home from church, and we had been having lots of thunderstorms, strong winds that had been blowing through here for 2 or 3 weeks. It was in September, early October of 2015. And I got home from church one night. It had really been raining hard, and I went out on my back porch, and I looked, and I noticed that about half of my fence had been blown down by the wind, by the storm. And it was an old fence, and I knew eventually I was going to have to replace it, but I did what all wise people do with old fences. I waited until it fell down before I replaced it, because nobody wants to put up a new fence and for it to fall down. So after the fence had fallen down, I contacted a man who can put up fences, and he put up a fence for me with galvanized posts. And I would say to you, if you ever put up a fence in your backyard and you think to do it, I did because my neighbor has that, and I always said, if I replace that fence, I'm going to put up some galvanized posts to make it stronger. And I put that up. And so there's a silly minor example of an obstacle I had, but I didn't just go inside and say, Lord, as you can see, my fence has blown over. I trust you to put it back up. That's not how it works, because God would have said to me, no, that's not how it works. Do you remember when Jesus in John chapter 11 went to Lazarus' tomb? And Jesus was about to bring Lazarus from death to life. But before he did that, he said to the people who were at the tomb, you roll the stone away. Now, why did he ask them to roll the stone away? You would think if Jesus were going to bring Lazarus back from the grave, he would have just gone ahead and rolled the stone away too. But he didn't, because God, he never does what he expects us to do. And sometimes in life, there are things that God expects us to do. I had a similar experience one night. I got home. This has been several years ago, maybe 6 years ago now. And we'd been having a hard rain. And I went into my front entryway there, and there was water all over the entryway. And turned out I had a my roof was leaking. And so I didn't go in and pray that God would patch the leak. Or I may have, knowing me, I probably did give the Lord a chance to save me the headache. But I called a roofer. I put a new roof on my house. I had an obstacle. I had to fix it, right? Another problem years ago in my house, I had some old pipes and they needed to be replaced. They had sprung a leak once and I was fearful if they did it again, it was going to be really bad. So I called my friend and I said, I think I'm ready to replace all the pipes in my house. And I replaced all those pipes. So I had an obstacle, old pipes. But I didn't ignore it. I didn't just pray it away. I had to call my friend. I didn't fix it. He fixed it, but I had to pay him for it. And so that was something that I could do. So I could give illustrations like that, and I think that kind of makes the point. I think of another time I was having some work done at my house and had a friend who had come out to do some painting for me. He's a really good friend. I love this man. But as he was doing that painting for me, he and I got into a little bit of an argument, and I was rude to him. And I never will forget, it was on a Thursday, which used to be the day that I would study for my Sunday night sermon. And so anyway, I left the house and I came to church and went to the study and I started studying on my sermon. And it was like God said, this is a sham. This is a charade. You were just rude to a man. And now you're coming to church asking me to give you a sermon. He said, you need to go home and apologize to that man. And so I did. I got in my car. I drove home. And I went in the house. He was still painting. I said, hey, man, we've been friends a long time. And that argument we had a few hours ago, that was my fault. I'm sorry. I was rude to you. Please forgive me. And so that was an obstacle that I had, but it was something that I had control over. In other words, I could go back to my house, I could apologize, and I could make it right. And that is exactly what I did. And so sometimes in life, we have these situations and we think, man, I have got an obstacle and I need to do something about it. I can remember probably 15, 16 years ago, I was at a gym one night and I got on the scales and I weighed over 200 pounds, which was more than I needed to weigh at this time in my life. If I'd been in high school, it wouldn't have made any difference. But this time, and I looked at that because for the years leading up to that, I'd probably been in the high 180s, low 190s. I looked at that, I was either 199, 200, 200, I think it was over 200 pounds. And when I was on those scales, I guess I could say this. I didn't say I have an obstacle. I guess I should have said I have become an obstacle, right? But I made a decision that I was going to lose some weight. And so I stopped eating white bread, white flour. And I eat a little bit of it now, but I quit for years. I didn't touch any white bread. Now, used to, if I went to the Olive Garden and get the salad, I would get salad and 6 breadsticks. And plus the entree with it. No more white flour. And I would say in about a year or two, I lost 20 pounds. And I was down to 180, about where I am now. And so I felt like there's a time where I had an obstacle, but there was something I could do about it. It would have been silly for me to have gone home and said, Lord, as I sit here eating this Twinkie, please help me to lose weight. No, I had a problem, but I had within me the ability and the wherewithal to roll that stone away. Now, another story that you're a little more familiar with. A couple of years ago, I went home from church one night. I don't know how graphic to get. Probably not too graphic. You probably wouldn't want it too graphic. But I went home from church one night, and I began to pass blood. Now, that's probably more graphic than you want it, but I have to tell that so you get a feel for this. And I knew something was wrong because I had never had this situation before. About 11 o'clock that night, and I thought, well, I probably need to go to a doctor or need to call somebody, but I didn't want to do anything in the middle of the night. I said, I'm going to just go to sleep and see how it is in the morning. So I didn't sleep very much that night and got up in the morning. I was still passing the blood, and I called my doctor and I told him about that. He said, well, John, that's not a good thing. Man started passing blood, and he said, you probably need to go to the emergency room. And I said, well, I think I probably do, but I just wanted to hear it from a doctor. He said, yeah, you need to just get to the emergency room as quickly as you can. After you get there and they find out what it is, call me and let me know what's going on. So I called my dad and I said, Dad, here's what's happening. About 7 o'clock in the morning now, 6:30 or 7. I said, I'm passing blood. I'm not in any pain. But I called Dr. Berkman. I really need to go to the emergency room. Would you mind? I hate to go to the emergency room by myself. I don't know what they're going to do to me or, you know, sedate me. Would you mind if I come by your house and pick you up and we'll drive down to the medical center? He said, yeah, that'll be fine. You come on. And right before we hung up, he said, wait a second. If you're going to the emergency room, I think I need to drive you. I don't think you're supposed to drive yourself to the emergency room. I said, well, I really am not in any pain. He said, no, that's not how it works. There's a rule about this somewhere. Now, you don't drive yourself to the emergency room. So he said, I'll be there. And so we hung up, and he came pick me up, and we were driving to the medical center and to go to St. Luke's emergency room. And we got on the beltway, and I began to have the worst pain in my back that I have ever had. And I was so glad that he was driving, and I said to him, I can't make it to St. Luke's. Can you turn around, and can we go to the ER across the street from the church, this neighbor's emergency center over there? And he drove me to it, and they did a scan of me. And one of the things they said as a result of that scan, they said, John, the problem you're having is, the reason you're passing blood, you are passing a kidney stone. Now, you talk about a stone that I couldn't roll away. There was it right there. And so they gave me medicine, they gave me drugs, they sent me home, and they said, it's not small, but it's not so big that you can't pass it. And if you'll give this a day or two or three, hopefully that'll pass. And thankfully, that was on a Monday, and on Wednesday, it passed. And I sang the hallelujah chorus right there in my house. No, not really, but it passed, and I was glad that it had passed. Here's the point I'm making. Now, that is a literal stone that I had in my life. That was an obstacle. But what I'm saying is I had within me the ability not to make it pass, not to fix it, but to do something to help the situation. And so that obstacle in your life, and I use all those different illustrations about house problems, about health, about relationships and disagreements. If you look at, you know, if you're here tonight, I haven't even brought up finances. Your obstacle may be finances. You may say, man, I just don't have any money. Well, I don't know, and I would have to sit down with you and have a long conversation to figure that one out. I don't know why you don't have any money, but it may be that part of the reason, and it may not be. Some people just don't have money because they've fallen on hard times. They've not been irresponsible. They've not done anything wrong. They've lost their job. They don't have any money, and they can't help it. And there are a lot of people like that. And we should do what we can to help people when they fall on hard times. But sometimes people have financial problems, and it was their own fault. They bought stuff they couldn't afford. They charged stuff they never should have bought. They've run up a debt. Now they can't even pay the minimum on their credit card balance. And they've got this, and they're talking about, oh man, I've got this financial problem. Will you just pray with me? Well, yes, we should pray. But the solution to the problem may be more practical than it is spiritual. It may be that the reason you don't have any money is you're not tithing on what you already have. Or it may be that you're not following sound financial principles about excessive debt, and you're buying things you don't need, and here's your income, and you're spending more is going out than is coming in. And so it's really not spiritual at all. It's practical. And God says to you, if you're in that situation tonight, what you need to do is to roll the stone away. You need to do, this is a problem in your life, but you can do something about it. Now, folks, here's the way I feel about it. None of us want obstacles in life. None of us want problems in life. None of us want stones in life. But if we have to have a stone or an obstacle or a problem, I would rather have one that I can do something about. Because it may not be easy, but at least there's something I can do to make the situation better. Category number one, some stones you can move. You still listen? Say amen. Category number two, there are some stones in your life, there are some obstacles in your life that you cannot move. There are some situations in your life that are not as simple as the ones I have just described. They're much deeper than that. They're much more complicated than that. And some of you tonight who are facing one of those obstacles, you're thinking, oh, John, I just wish it was a leaky roof. I wish it was pipes. I wish it was a fence that had fallen down. I wish it was as simple as that, you apologizing to the painter and y'all making up. Or I wish it was that simple, but for me, it's not that simple. It is a stone, an obstacle, it is a problem that I cannot do anything about. And that's what these ladies were facing. As they were walking to the tomb out of their pure love and devotion for Jesus, going there to anoint his body, they said to each other, what about that stone? We can't move it. What are we going to do? Who's going to move it? How will this saga be resolved? And so they had an obstacle that they couldn't move, a problem they couldn't solve, a stone that they could not roll out of the way. And sometimes in life, that is what we're up against. Sometimes in a relationship, for example, it's not a matter of, it's not as simple as you going to this other person and apologizing and that other person forgiving you and then everything being restored. What if you go to another person to apologize and they don't accept your apology, or if they don't extend you forgiveness? What if in this relationship with somebody else, you don't really have anything to apologize for? The reason there's a problem in the relationship is because they're going down some crazy road and there's not anything you can do to fix the problem. Well, that's not as simple as me going home apologizing to my pain, or him saying, "Oh, John, I'm sorry, forgive me too," and we hugged each other and everything. No, it's not like that. This is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In fact, Paul said it this way, if possible, comma. Everybody say that. If possible, comma. As much as depends on you. Say that. As much as depends on you. And he has another comma right there. He qualified it twice. Live peaceably with all men. Why did Paul say, if possible, comma, as much as depends on you, comma, live at peace with all men? Because God certainly knew, and Paul knew, that sometimes it's not possible. And sometimes it doesn't just depend on you. Sometimes it depends on somebody else. And in that situation, there's an obstacle to reconciliation. There's a stone, but it weighs 2 tons, and you can't move that stone out of the way. How about grief? Grief is a real thing. Some of you tonight may be experiencing deep grief. The most recent conversation I had with a man in grief was Monday. This man is 81 years old, and his mother-in-law, who is 102 and a half, and he said, "John, at that funeral, you be sure and get that half in there," because she wanted it to be known she was 102 and a half. She just died, and we're having her funeral here tomorrow afternoon. And this man, 81 years old, he said to me, "John, my mother-in-law has been a part of my life." I mean, you do the math on that. For a long time, he married the lady's daughter when he was 21, I think. So for 60 years, for a long time. I can never do math on my feet like that. I always try and I turn the numbers up. For all those years, they have had a relationship. He said, "John, let me tell you something about my mother-in-law." He said, "In all these years, 60 plus years, we never had a disagreement. She never spoke a discouraging word to me. She was never anything to me but kind, loving, and respectful." And he said, "I know I'm 81. It's not like I'm a spring chicken myself." He said, "But I'm telling you, I'm taking my mother-in-law's death a lot harder than I thought I would. Because all these years, she's been in my life." Now there's grief. Now there's a stone that man has tonight, and others in that family have, that they can't roll it away. They can't just go over there and make it go all away. You can't replace that roof. You can't repipe that house. I mean, she has died. She is gone from the earth. Now she's in heaven, but she's gone from the earth. And so here's a man who has an obstacle that he can't fix, or a problem that he cannot solve. So the question is, what do we do when we have a stone that we can't move, an obstacle that we can't move out of our way? And as I've thought about that today, it's just like from God. For you, for me, for anybody who will listen, here's what you do. When you have a stone that you can't move out of the way, you just keep moving forward as though that stone isn't there. Now, isn't that what those ladies did? When they were going to Jesus' tomb and they're saying, "Who's going to move that stone?" They didn't know who was going to move that stone. They knew none of them were going to move it. They didn't know who was going to. They never dreamed an angel would move it. But isn't it interesting? As they were saying to each other, "Who's going to move that stone away?" they asked that question as they kept on moving forward. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is, when you have an obstacle that you can't solve, if you will just keep moving forward in your life as best as you can, you're going to experience the power of God. Those ladies, when they did that, when they just kept moving forward and they refused to let that obstacle, that problem, that stone, you know, keep them at home, what did they experience? Well, they got to the tomb. First of all, the stone had been rolled away, so they experienced a miracle. Second, they found themselves in a conversation with an angel, and so they experienced another miracle. And third, the angel told them what to do, and so they got their instructions for the next step of their life. Think about this. Had they sat at home or wherever they were in, they didn't live in Jerusalem, but had they stayed in wherever they were staying in Jerusalem, and you know, they're sitting around and they say, well, you know, we wanted to anoint the body of Jesus. That's what's in our heart. That's what we want to do. But hey, y'all saw that stone that got rolled over his tomb. That thing weighs 2 tons. We can't move it. And so even though we want to anoint his body, there's no need for us to go to the tomb because the stone is standing in our way. They didn't do that. What'd they do? They just said, you know what? We're going to do what we can do. We're going to keep moving forward. We're not going to stop. We're not going to give up. We're not going to allow this obstacle to put us on the sidelines. We're going to keep moving forward. And when they did that, they experienced 2 miracles, and then they got their instructions for what they were supposed to do next. How does this apply to our lives? It is so obviously and easily applied that I barely even need to say it again. Whatever obstacle you are facing in life, if it's one that you can move, brother, move it. If there's something you can do about it, do something about it. But if there's an obstacle in your life, you can't move it, you can't budge it, what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You just keep moving forward as best as you can, as though that obstacle were not even there, knowing full well that if that obstacle needs to be moved, one day God will knock that obstacle out of your way. Amen? And so, Father, this is more of a thought tonight, I suppose, than a complicated sermon. But God, it sure is a good, clear thought that all of us can relate to on one level or another. Father, I pray for men and women all over this room tonight with obstacles in their lives. God, I pray if it's an obstacle that they can move, that even tonight as they leave this service, they would say, well, you know what? We have our answer. Here's what we can do. Here's what I can do. There's something I can do about this problem. I can go back and apologize. That might repair that relationship. I can go on a diet. I can lose weight. I can fix this. I can go to the doctor. I can get this problem checked out. Sometimes, God, just show everybody tonight what they might need to do to address a problem that they're now facing. But God, for those here tonight who have been to the doctor, and the doctor says there's not anything we can do. For those who have tried to make a relationship right, but it's beyond their control, and the relationship will not be made right, God. They can't do anything about that. And God, I pray that you would help them tonight to know if they've done all they can do, that's all you expect of them. And so, God, whatever the situation may be, relationships, physical problems, financial problems, whatever, God, help all of us tonight to do what we can, but having done what we can do, help us to move forward like these ladies did. Maybe not knowing who's going to move that stone. Maybe not knowing what's going to happen when we get to the tomb. Maybe not knowing exactly how we will be able to do what we feel like God has led us to do. But moving forward nonetheless, believing that while that stone is too big for us, that stone is not too big for you. And God, at the right time, you can roll that stone out of the way. And we can do what we need to do to express our love to you. God, use this simple passage of Scripture tonight to encourage us. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people said,